Shall we begin this evening with singing from Psalter 243? 243. An Herald of Stearns is 9, 10, 11, and 15. My oath is steadfast, ever sure, my servant's race shall still endure. On thy anointed wrath is poured, as if thy covenant were abhorred. And he is reproached and spoiled of all. 9, 10, 11, and 15 of 243. Like to read from Second Epistle to Timothy, there of chapter 4, to Timothy 4, and begin with verse 1 to verse 18. 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 to 18. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, and your afflictions do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens, to Galatia, Titus, unto Dalmatia. Only Lucas with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us ask the Lord for his help and blessing. Lord of heaven and of the earth, when in this evening we may have come together in this weeknight evening, this weeknight and this evening we may be together to again speak and hear about the Pilgrim's Progress on the way to the celestial city, and what he experienced, some of the meetings he had on that way, on that journey. And it also gives us precious lessons and instructions for our life. First of all, Lord, may we know this journey. May we be on that same way, that path by which he came through that narrow, that wicked gate, and where he experienced severe battles, but where he also experienced gracious divine deliverances, where he had companions, and where we also hope to hear of another companion that he got out of thy hand this evening. Lord, may we belong to those companions of Christian, that we may not be like those who climbed over the wall or who met him for a little while on that way and yet never succeeded, never became true companions, though they talked for a little while together, but where the heart remained the same evil heart and the love remained self-centered and the heart was never inclined to thy will and thy presence and thy grace, oh Lord, may it then please thee to also grant a blessing in this evening when we hope to discuss these things. A blessing of discovering, a blessing also of comfort, according to what is needed and that is known to thee. Thou knowest thine own, thou knowest the struggling pilgrims, thou knowest whatever their name may be and the variety of leadings, but still they have something in common that binds them together. They are bound by the same faith and the same love to that same purpose and to that same goal, and that is to be with thee and to glorify thee. Or they are bound together in that same way, and with this Christ Jesus he said, I am the way. And Lord, may then thou give that in this evening we may hear our name, we may also hear his name, because our name never gives a solution, but that the solution only lies in the name of Christ. Oh, when that name may be known in a saving manner, when we may flee to that name, when we may trust in that name, that we may follow him, Lord, and we will not find our end in the place where others came, who were on that way for a little while, but who never reached the end. Oh, may then thou grant that true conversion and that heart-renewing work of thy Spirit where it is missing, and where it may be, Lord, will thou strengthen it. All thou knowest how often they can be attacked, and how often they can be assaulted, and how Satan doesn't cease to assault them. But will thou grant that also in this evening they may be strengthened in their faith, they may feel companionship and fellowship also with Christian and his companion. Remember the needs of the congregation which are known to thee. Lord, may we commend unto thee the elderly ones and those who are unable to be with us because of infirmities of the body. May thou also restore strength, or when it is evening, the day is far spent, may thou grant that this evening, the evening of life, may yet be enlightened with thy gracious presence. And Lord, will thou work in the midst of us yet with thy Holy Spirit. And when we so hope to explain a little portion, Lord, will thou give us the wisdom, the light, the carefulness, the faithfulness, and all that we need also in answering questions which could be asked tonight. And Lord, may we so have a profitable evening. which might be used in thy hand also for the edification and instruction of thy children, but also to make others jealous, as there were jealous people even in Vanity, in the city Vanity, on that Vanity Fair, were jealous, became jealous of Christian and faithful. May then and so remember us, Lord, and have respect unto thy covenant, and be a surprising God, and that we ask thee, not because we deserve it, but only for thy name's, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Friends, we would like to continue with portion that follows the section we dealt with last time, and was about the death, martyr's death of faithful in Vanity Fair. And we heard how when he was on that stake to be burned, how the wagons came from heaven to take him home. And then we see Christian a little while later. He has been brought back to prison, but he is able to escape. We see him continuing his journey alone. Yet he is singing. I hear him singing. Why is he singing? To be alone, to have gone through so much care and fright and terror, and to see your best friend being burnt on the burning stake, that's really not a reason to sing. Still, he is singing. The reason that he sings is that he may have an eye to God's glory, but also to the happiness which his friend and companion now may enjoy forever. He may look at that blessed death of faithful as an encouragement for himself, so he may sing of the good arrival of his companion, who straight up went to heaven, while he still has to continue his journey through this world. But he is still human, and after a little while he also feels that emptiness. He is alone, and life seeks life. We are social creatures. The one may be more than the other, but we all need companionship. And I often thought in my first congregation, it happened too, that I came somewhere on Friday, an old widow, and she said, "Reverend, you are the first one I see this week." And that struck my heart, and I thought, oh, that's sad, you know. From Monday, Sunday, maybe in church, or not, listening to the church telephone, and then, yeah, Friday, and I was the first one she met, who came in and stepped in. Lonesomeness. So I appreciate if you are not completely alone yet. You can feel lonesome still, but a Christian is lonesome too. And when dear children of God are taken away, then we feel like the loss of a brother or a sister in grace. And you lose spouse or husband, wife, or you lose father or mother. Those losses are experienced, and they give pain and grief. But I believe that it is also true when the Lord removes spiritual brothers and sisters from us. When I come in the Netherlands, the last years tried to do twice a year, just for 1 week. And then wherever I come, I see empty places. If I come in my first congregation, which I usually try to do, visit a couple people of God, walk from the one street to the other, and you don't have to take the bike even, or the car, but then still there are places where I cannot go anymore, and where the Lord has removed dear friends, and you feel that when you come there and in other places. And as people, when they grow older, often also grow more lonesome, because many people with whom they grew up are not there anymore, and they see their picture of the class reunion or the graduation, they say, well, they only this one and me, maybe we are the only ones left. So also when God's people grow older, they often feel more and more of those empty places in their life, and that gives pain, and the Lord knows that they need companionship. We are not created to be just alone. The Lord said it is not good that man should be alone, shall make an help meet for him. But the Lord gives helpers and friends in many ways, but he gives that also to his people. And that we also see in this history of and the story of a Christian on the way to the celestial city, that the Lord gives him a new companion. His name is Hope, or Hopeful. He comes, you will never guess it, but he comes from not the city of destruction, but he comes from the city Vanity, where Christian just have escaped from. And he was also present at a Vanity Fair. He was there too. And now he is meeting Christian, and not to take him by force, but to seek his companionship. What has happened to these men? Well, what has happened to more? They have witnessed the calmness and the submission and the faith of Christian and Faithful, and the death of Faithful, being beaten with rods and being treated in a very cruel way, and then being burned. But still they have seen something that impressed them greatly. And what we often hear in church history, that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church, has also been the case with a Hopeful. He has received a new life. The Lord has stopped him. He could not stay any longer in Vanity anymore. If that is impossible, we may come from wherever we come from. The woman in the house of Simon, she had been in a bad place and in bad life, but she can stay there. And so it is evident in the fruits. So he meets a Christian, Hopeful, and he joins him, and they may become new companions. What an evidence of God's care for his dear children. Awesome that we have such hard thoughts of God, like he forgets us, or like he puts too much on our shoulders, at least I do sometimes. Or he could, make it a little later, easier for us, a little bit more sunshine and not so much hail and storm and rain and spiritually. And then actually we grieve the Lord, and the Lord doesn't give reason to that. We don't understand his ways always, but never the Lord has forsaken or abandoned his church, and he will never do so either. He cares for them also by new companions, and doesn't have to be a multitude. It may be one or two, so they go together, and you can understand how encouraging and comforting this must have been for Christian. Also encouraging in this sense that he sees that deep way in which they went through that city of Vanity, that the Lord has blessed that for others, and that they have not been there in vain, not just for the trial of their faith, but also for the conversion of others. So we never know why we have to be in a certain, maybe difficult position, your job or college, and maybe in difficult place where you are, and still the Lord may have a purpose with it, which you don't see at that moment, but later on, that our life may speak, which is only possible if we go in the right way, in the footsteps of the Master, and if we are ministered out of His fullness. But so we see them together, and the Lord gives this companion to every Christian. Every Christian gets this companion on his way. Because when Christian goes through the river of death, then it is still hope for hopeful who keeps his head above the water. And Christians, God's people, they receive faith. Or you see that also in faithfulness, and you see the loving Christian. But there is also that hope, faith, hope, and love together. And that hope that does not put to shame, because the love of God has been shed abroad in the heart. And so, as Bunyan is a master painter, I would say writer, in describing and painting different aspects of spiritual life or of worldly life in an allegorical way, so he is also a master in just putting hope or hopeful on the side of Christian, because that is now something that belongs to the life of a tried and tested church. They are not without hope. That hope may be tried and tested. Now, without that hope that keeps their head above the water, not only when they die, but many times when the water comes to the lips, they may seem to be hopeless, it may seem to be cut off, or it may seem to be, I will one day perish in the hand of Saul. But that hope that the Lord has given in their heart, and that rests upon His word, upon His promises, that will never be completely taken away. Hope. Hopeful. So we see them going, the two of them. And I hope you may know this companion, because every Christian, every child of God, has this companion on his side. And therefore an essential part of the history, and we will see it more often in the future, the Lord willing. But then they get more company. There is another man who is walking up to them, and he also comes from a city fair speech. Nice talking, smooth talking, we would say. Beautiful talking. And, yeah, he doesn't say his name right away. He keeps hitting behind the bush, or around the bush, I say that. But he is not so open in that sense. So, be careful. Seems like he has to hide something. His name, I can tell you, is By Ends, or Love Gain. Typical name for Bunyan to describe a certain characteristics. By end, goal. You have a by goal and something else. You seem to have this goal, but there are other goals. There are other motives, other reasons for your behavior. This is a religious man. So there's a man who seems to be, he says that, I'm also on the way to Celestial City. May I join you? I will be good company for you. I like to be travel with you. It's gezellig, cozy. And that sounds good. Typical for a man from fair speech. He can talk religion. And he just is a little not so open about himself, who he really is. I can say, well, that is no one's business. That still, he speaks religion, and he says, yeah, I think I can quite a bit agree for, I would say, 95% with you, Christian, and your name, Hopeful. But I will tell you, my religion is a religion in our city, because that is the, I would say, prevailing religion in the city where I come from, Fair Speech, and some other friends and relatives I have there, and the one is, we could call him turning around. You can turn this way, you can turn that way, depending on the circumstances. And if a minister, double-tongued, he can double speech, he can speak this way, can speak that way, can preach this kind of sermon in this place and that kind of sermon in another place. So I would say very flexible person. Not flexible, hypocritical. But, yeah, he says, my religion is, there's but a little difference with yours, I think. You're a little overly strict. We are a little bit more cautious, more careful. We, for instance, will never go against the wind or the tide, the streaming, the current. We will never say, no, we have to watch it. Now we wait until the wind is favorable. We want to go against the wind. There's hard working, there's hard, that gives hardship. So we like to have a smooth ride. All those hardships, I think that's just a little dumb that those Christians, they run ahead and they don't just watch the weather and the circumstances, and they should be a little bit more tactful, a little bit more political. No, he is more tactful, so to say, he says. And we never go against the wind and the tide. And secondly, we are jealous too, but we are most jealous when, for instance, we walk on the street and there on the sunny side of the street you see religion walking, on slippery, on silver slivers. So I say very pleasantly and conveniently, he walks there in silver slippers, so honored, respected. It's a good time to be religious. Sun is shining. So then we are most zealous. If religion is something respectful and something that can you give you a good name and it is pleasant and sun is shining, then we are most zealous. So we just little bit. We look a little bit more at circumstances than you do, but for the rest, we go the same way, and we talk the same religion. And so I would like to go along with you, but it doesn't go well between Christian and the Hopeful and this man with the name Mr. By. And Christian said, what's your name now? He says, they call me Mr. By M, but that's really a nickname. That's not, the people who don't like me, they give me that name, but it's not. But I think it is a very proper name for him. He is a representative of that religion which serves God and is zealous even for selfish reasons. It is all centered around self, prosperity, good name, and getting to the city, getting to heaven. And Christian and Hopeful have nothing in common with him. Soon are three others, yet three more are joining. It is Mr. By End. The one's name is Mr. Hold the World. So holding the world with one hand and holding religion with your other hand, or maybe on Sunday and lean this way and during the week this way. Mr. Money Love and Mr. Save All. Don't throw anything away, save all. And all four have something in common. They know each other from school yet. They were all same school by the same teacher. His name was Mr. Gripeman. Whatever you can get it. Success. Success oriented. And he taught his students in the city, could call it gain, in the province, coveting. It was in the north part. And north is, that's not a place where it is so warm. It is in scripture the place of darkness and coldness. And so they indeed have a cold heart for the Lord and for his service. But they're religious. They're taught. And the religion is a religion of success. It's something that you can improve yourself with. You can be better off. You can be forever better off. But here already, if you are careful. And yeah, the four ways of attaining success were first by violence, maybe not the most nicest way, but then secondly by flattery, flatter people, say you are such a nice Christian, oh I admire you, and how many people are very, not only politicians, but how many people go that way. Be careful with flatterers, because that is not from the Lord. One who knows his own heart will not flatter. At least he will be careful not to do it. He may fall into that trap maybe, but that will not be his life. He will hate it. Flattery. Lying. That's the third way. Lying. Just lie. Change the truth a little bit, add a little bit, take something away with it, say half-truth, lie, success, and you get your position, you get strong, you get, wow. And the fourth way is, simulate guys under the guise of religion. So pretend to be very religious, have a religious cloak. Four. And they even talk about that last way, because, yeah, you're now talking religion, so they ask a question to Christian and hopeful. Don't you think so, Christian, or people, that it is good to be religious, very religious, in order to get blessings in this life? Is it not very good to be very religious? The Lord blesses that, right? You can even use a Bible text for it. So, but to be blessed, that means to promote myself. And Christian answers in disgust. He says a baby could answer your question. A baby in grace knows more than you. And dear friends, so we see how soon those four stay behind. And Christian and hopeful, they don't hesitate, they don't linger there, they continue their walk, and they quickly outdistance the others, are soon behind them. Now before we go to the next meeting, I would like to say something about these four people. Mr. Buy End or Love Gain, Mr. Hold the World, Mr. Money Love, Mr. Save All, say these are awful people. And that teacher too, that's a mean, tricky person. Yeah. I read in Thomas Hooker that he says, oh, that Mr. By End lives in my heart. Because so many times my goals are not pure. And for instance, another Thomas Shepherd, in his spiritual experiences, speaks about how on Sunday mornings he may have a desire to preach and to bring the word of God, having the motive that God may be glorified and honored, and souls may be saved, God's people may be edified. But how that same Sunday morning, sometimes that desire comes in, comes to the foreground to do a good sermon, to make a good impression, or to, well, self creeps in. And he says, for instance, that sometimes he is comforting distressed people, And then he detects in his comforting words a desire, that evil desire, that by end, not only that God will be glorified, but that he also gets a little of the honor. People will say, that's a good pastor. That's a good, that's a faithful. Others looked at Thomas Shepherd as being very, very pious and godly and self-denying and having the honor of God in view. But when he looked at himself, he found Mr. Byant there too. And he was something very ashamed of him, and very, he abhorred him. But he was there when he went to the pulpit, when in all his labors, in his spiritual exercises, Mr. Byant is not only in the world, but also here in our heart. Therefore, we have to ask for an undivided heart. There's a difference, though. We can be just Mr. Byant, and we can detect something of that still in our heart, of that old, wicked nature that always wants to get some credit, some honor, some respect. So then you will never say, how is it possible that that person is so horribly self-centered and proud and self-seeking, and even in his best works. But you will say, Lord, keep me and deliver me from it. So remember those two Thomases, Thomas Hooker, Thomas Shepherd. We know them. They have a good name amongst us, and we may be sure these were godly servants, but they had self-knowledge. Do you have that knowledge? You don't get it at the school of Mr. Greitman, but you get that self-knowledge at the school of Jesus Christ. And then he says, dig deeper, deeper, son of man. You will find more abominations yet. But you will find those four people there too. Then they continue, and after a while they come place, and beside the road they see a hill, not such a big hill, and there is in that hill is a silver mine, lots of money there and silver, and beside the road there is a man standing, and he calls them, ho, turn aside, and I will show you something. And Hopeful looks, and he sees maybe also a little of the glittering of that. You can use a little money on the way. You need something. And he says, I think we shall take a look, right? No, Christian says, no, don't do that. Because I have heard of this place that is very dangerous. People who have listened and went for a look, they never came back. Many have perished here. So, no, let's not do so. It's a very dangerous place. The name of the man is Demas. Demas. He calls himself the son of Abraham. Covenant child. Not somebody from the world. No, again somebody. We would say, almost Christian. At least, he had a good upbringing. He could point back to, I'm Abram's seed, just like the Pharisees. The Christian says, I know you. I know you. Yes, received a little discerning light. He says, your grandfather was Gehazi. Gehazi, the servant of Elijah. When Naaman came, and he was cured, then Naaman wanted to give gifts, rich gifts. And no, Elisha said, no, I don't need it, I don't want it, keep it. But, then Elisha left, and Gehazi said, thought it's too bad. I could use something of that too. And so that was his grandfather. Against the will of God, not literally his grandfather, but was seeking that silver mine of Naaman. He had a big part in that silver mine. He had an honored position, And Gehazi, and for some earthly profit betrayed his master. He said, Christian, and you have followed your grandfather and father in their footsteps. And so then they continued their way. Demas, we read of him in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He was even an assistant pastor. We could say an assistant apostle. It's more. And he was a fellow worker in the gospel. And then there came a separation. Paul says it with pain in his heart. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world with its ease, with its sunshine, with its material gain. Now, not in the dirty world, but the decent world. The world with which you can make career. And just nothing filthy, not something out of the slums, not of prostitutes and whatever, and drunkards and robbers. No, the decent world. Just on Wall Street you can make money, and we have to be in this world, right? Are we not placed there? But Demas has loved this present world and is departed from Thessalonica. And see, so we can be on the same path again. Again, that separation. I see four people coming. Before we leave, we are Christian and hopeful already on the way further, but I see three people. We just met them. Four students of Mr. Greitman, and the one with the name Mr. Byend, and love money. And so those four, and they also come close to the, and Demas also says, hold, turn aside, and I will show you something. And they do. They go there. And then Bunyan says, and you never read or see them on the way anymore. You never see them anymore. With other words, lost, perished, and led astray by Demas. Silver mine. Again, something to search our heart. How much does the silver mine occupy our thoughts and our hearts and our lives and our materialistic aids? How much of it is there in our heart? Hopeful and Christian, they continue. And then I stop for a little while and we sing. And there he sees, a monument beside the road. And when they come closer, they see it has the shape of a woman. And they look and they see some letters in ancient writing, letters written on that monument, kind of pillar. And it says, remember, Christian can read it, remember Lot's wife. Scriptural. Remember Lot's wife. She left the city of Sodom. She was on the way to the celestial city, we could say, to Zoar. She was on the way of, deliverance. At least looked like. Her heart was still in Sodom. But you couldn't see that right away. Maybe in her eyes. And then you saw it. Against the commandment of God, she looked back. And at that moment, her heart was still there. Then she became stiff, cold, dead, as salty pillar. And remember Lot's wife, and when Hopeful sees that, then he feels how close he has been to looking backward, how close he has been to becoming, like that pillar, dead, cold, forever. And he says, oh, I'm so sorry that I was so foolish A wonder that I have been kept. And so we see in the life of Christian and hopeful the grace of perseverance, God's grace. And we see also the warning, flee from youthful lust, and the pride of the eyes and of the flesh. Flee from them and seek to be kept by the great keeper of Israel. Christian and hopeful continue their way, but we hope to, maybe the Lord willing, another time see them again. We will now sing together. And you know, questions are very welcome. And write them down in the collection bag. Comes, can put them in there. We will sing together from Psalter 397. And yeah, we need a little time also for collecting not only the money but also the questions and you for writing them. So let us sing at least stanzas 1 to 6. If necessary, we can also sing 7 and 8. O Lord, thou art my God and King, and I will ever bless thy name. I will extol thee every day, and evermore thy praise proclaim. 1 through 6 of 397. So four. Try to answer them briefly, as far as I can do that briefly. You mentioned that we should not look for feelings or come to church for a feeling religion. That confuses me. I sometimes pray, Lord, let me feel something of thy word today. If I feel nothing, I have nothing, and go home with a hard heart. Should we not feel something? Where there is life, there is feeling. So if there is never any feeling, feeling of sorrow, sorrow is a feeling. Gladness is a feeling. Joy is a feeling. And meeting someone for whom we have been looking, that gives feelings. Or missing someone that we cannot miss, that gives feelings, sure. So we must never say, well, religion can be without feeling. But it must be more than feeling, because feelings are treacherous, deceitful. We can have feelings of joy in hearing the word, as a temporary believer has, and that we are still strangers of the heart renewing work of grace. So what I would like to say is this: let not having feelings be your goal in itself, but let it be your goal to hear it from the Lord, that he speaks to you scripture, his word. That's the guideline. And now, not just reading the word, you should do that, searching it, but in that word, and every child of God knows what that is, that sometimes the word becomes so personal, it pops out, but it is so personal that they know at that moment that the Lord is speaking. I may doubt it later on, but that's what we should seek. The poet says, I have heard it myself out of his mouth. And our basis should never be what we feel, because the feelings go up and down, even in natural life. Even if nothing special happens during the day, but your feelings go up and down, the one more than the other may be, I think so, but still feelings are very changeable. And we sometimes feel wrong. Now we feel things, we may be very sharp in feeling things, and God's people may sometimes feel more than they can explain. That is all true. But the basis should be, the rock of ages, the righteousness of Christ. And again, if we may come at a rock, there will be feelings for sure. But we don't rest on the feelings, and we don't focus on the feelings, but we focus on that. Here is now my hope and my rest in him, in his work. And that is where I try to point you to. That is where I try. I know that I could say, I could speak much more about feelings. And again, I don't mean a judgmental historical religion without feelings. It must be more than notion. Something must be seen and felt, yes. But then it's not about the feeling, but about that something, about the object it is about. If it is well, the soul cannot rest. If the Lord begins in your life, then your eyes are opened and you see. You see at least that you are far away from God. And at the same time, the Lord sheds abroad his love in your heart. So how can you rest in feelings then? that must be together again, God and you. That communion must be restored. To have a nice feeling. Oh, yeah, people get a nice feeling and high by using drugs. I'd say nice feelings. Now, you can use religion also for something like that. But that is not what we should seek for, to be excited, to be high. Church people, many churches play on that. I can make you excited. See, I really got something. Yeah, I got a kick. I got a spiritual excitement. And maybe from the devil. Maybe from the devil. He can imitate a lot. He can also give feelings. He gives also excitement and joy and enthusiasm. He never gives humility. No, that he cannot, he will not imitate. He never gives that humble acknowledgement, Lord, why me? Or Mephibosheth, a dead dog as me. That he doesn't teach. But feelings, no. I want to point you further, and I'm aware of the danger, even among God's people, of resting too much on feelings. Then you're very vulnerable for up and down, and very down too. And there are times that God's people believe and they have no feeling at all. But they believe because the Lord has said it, even if it is my heart is so cold as a stone, which I regret, which I don't feel happy about it, but I say, and yet he has said it. The naked faith, they call that, our fathers. I hope this is clear. Did hopeful enter the way through the wicked gate? If so, when? I don't read that. And you have to see the allegory as an allegory, not as a history. Then you could say, well, he is painting different aspects of Christian life, and he does it by making persons of them. Hope. So we should not say there's no another Christian, and so we should say, well, the Christian, the true pilgrim, always has a companion of hope. He is not without hope, as I explained it. And so then this question is not so important anymore. We should all go through that narrow gate. That is what Scripture says. But if he speaks about Mr. By-ends and whatever, then he speaks about certain sins or certain tendencies or certain temptations. And so he also speaks about something that belongs to Christian, to be faithful, but also to be hopeful. And to hope upon his word. There's another question. Not yet. The blessing of the Lord which maketh rich, and he added no sorrow with it. Could you please explain this blessing? Yeah. The blessing of the Lord makes rich doesn't mean on your bank account. Doesn't mean that you are making a beautiful career, that you will be a millionaire or more. No, that it makes rich spiritually. It makes you rich. Why? Because the Lord is in there. It means that the Lord holds you by the hand, that the Lord causes things to work together for your good. That sometimes a blessing may be that the storm, that it doesn't go so easy, that there are disappointments, that you learn to know yourself more, but it makes you rich, because it makes you more empty, and it makes Christ more necessary. Now that is rich. It makes him more needful for the soul. So, and all things work together. So that doesn't mean that the Lord cannot bless also your earthly efforts. You may ask for it, if it is not number one in your life, and you may ask the Lord to make your business endeavors to prosper. But still, the prayer of Agur is very important. He didn't ask for riches and not for poverty. Riches because he was afraid that he would get so presumptuous that he would forget the Lord. And also not poverty, because he didn't trust his own heart. He might be like Mr. Gripeman, taking something that doesn't belong to you. He could steal. So the blessing is that we may feel God is leading. God is doing this in his love, in his care, in his wisdom. And many times we see that afterward. But the blessing of the Lord, that is his grace, that implies that he is in the circumstances and with us in the circumstances. And that it brings us closer to him and closer to the goal and end of all his dealings. No by end, the only goal, the glory of God, and that they forever will thank God and admire God for his faithfulness in all his blessings. And the greatest blessing is that unspeakable gift that makes rich. And there's no sorrow in that. That is, if the Lord makes room for and reveals and gives the greatest blessing. Paul spoke, "For unto me to live is Christ, to die is gain." Gain, riches. Yeah. I could say much more about it, but upon what ground does hopeful hope? He hopes. There is also hope of the spider. Hey, you know, spider makes a web and comes off from his own bowels. It comes from his own little body. He makes a little picture, a little house there, but you just come with little cloth or maybe your finger and you pull it and it is gone. It doesn't have any strength. And that is the hope of, it comes out of your own bowels. The hope, it comes out of your own reasoning, your own faith maybe, your own doings. That's never a good hope. The hope, it comes out of ourself, will come to naught. What begins with man ends in man and ever in God. But the ground of hopeful is same as basically is what we read in the psalm. Remember the word spoken unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. The word of God, his promises, his word spoken to the soul, applied by the Spirit, made personal by the Spirit, those words give hope. Even if that hope is tried and tested, and sometimes you can't see it anymore, and the mockers say, "It was never of the Lord, see how things are going." Abram promised the son, promised him, and Sarah bare him no children. David, anointed to be a king, had to run for his life. And that's often the way. The Lord, he brings that hope and that faith in the furnace to purify it and to make it come out like gold. And he will take care that that hope is not a lazy hope in your easy chair, I hope, and my pocket's full with hope. No, that is a struggle. There's a fight. There's a warfare. And that's accompanied by prayer. That hope is made alive, kept alive by the influences of the Holy Spirit, sometimes renewing the old word of promise, something making it new. The Lord says, I said and I still say it. Sometimes giving an other word to confirm it. But the Lord, he gives his word as the ground of their hope, not anything in what they feel, not anything but they, not their feelings in itself. They cannot be the ground of hope, but God's testimony. And again, if you hope, and it was hopeless, and then there are feelings, I can assure you, hopeless, when you have been given up by the doctor, and you come by one more doctor, and he says, "I have something for you. I think I can help you." You get hope. You're not helped yet, but you get hope. And does that not give joy already? Sure it does. Or when you are a condemned sinner and you hear there is a lawyer and advocate who is Yah, so mighty, so wise, so capable that he can deal with hopeless cases, so to say. On the death row you are. But that is a lawyer and advocate who has taken up many hopeless causes. You hear that he is willing to, that the door is yet open, that you may come there. You hear his place where he lives, his hope. And you go out and you stand before the door knocking. Right? Because then you go out. And he opens the door and he says, "Who are you? Tell me what's your..." You may pour out your heart before him. You may pour out your heart. You may tell him all your problems. And he says, "Yes, I understand. I will take care of this." Well, Ruth was on the threshing floor, and Boaz said, I will be surety for you. I will do this. I will be. But there's one closer yet. I must deal with that too. It gives hope to that poor Ruth. So the hope is upon what he speaks, in whatever stage or condition of life. But he has said to my soul, and no other ground. May that be your ground. Read that word, and yeah. Sometimes they say preaching must give hope. Yeah. I don't know how you mean it. There is hope for the hopeless sinners. That gospel must be proclaimed to everyone. But it does not mean when somebody is struggling and feels a little guilty that you give him hope that there's something good, that you build him up. That's the work of maybe flattery or of ignorance, but may the Lord keep you from falling into such hands. Because the catechism doesn't go that way either. Goes a clear way in which he cuts off all what is outside of Christ. Sharp, but that's honest. And we cannot give hope outside of him. The only hope is that he is there. And there is no sinner too great, no one too old, no one too hard tonight. Or there is laid help upon one who is mighty and willing and able to do it. Call upon him. Be close. And we will sing from 163, all stanzas. Tomorrow morning I have to leave on time again, so for the Midwest, I hope you all have a blessed Sunday, and the Lord may be in your midst. The 163. All stanzas. Thank you. where will you stand? Where will I stand? Thy saints shall in glory stand. We are on our way, friends, and it goes fast, eh? It goes very quickly, few steps. And then we stand before Him. We need a beginning from Him. That we know God must begin, but you must not sit back. But God must begin in our life. And so as Christian was called out of that city, we need to be called out of the world or out of our self-righteousness. These are experiences on the way, but begin with the beginning must be from God. Then the end will also be with God. Let us close. Lord of heaven and of the earth, thou hast given an evening together with these dear friends who came to be with us and to listen and to ask questions, so we could meditate upon another portion of the Pilgrim's Progress, the journey of Christian, and we have heard how full of illustrations his story, that book is, and full of instruction and warning also. Oh, may we have heard our name, and may we take the instructions, the warnings, the admonitions to heart. We are dangerous people, and we can be very religious too. And some people are so religious, they want to be the strictest and the almost old-fashioned of everyone, and they can still be enemies of free grace, enemies of Christ. Oh Lord, keep us from heavy or light, doesn't matter much, heavy or light self-deceit and self-religion, that gave us that true religion and makes us poor, small, dependent, but also fleeing to Him, trusting Him. Oh, if He would not be there, we would stop. We would stop preaching, teaching, and we would stop going. He would have been lost for a long time already, but He is there. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Oh Lord, may we know that we are Adam before Thee, but may thus also room be made in our hearts for that second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, and may we know Him as He is to be known to salvation. Bring us safely home now. Keep us and protect us and lead us, and gather yet many to that congregation that shall be saved. Our Lord, it is not yet over. The time is still there, the time of grace. Work yet mightily amongst us. Pour out Thy love in many hearts, also in the young hearts. Thou art so worthy to give our life unto Thee. Oh, take it, Lord, and work yet, and bless then also this instruction. Forgive the sins and shortcomings, and hear us for the sake of Him who was faithful to the end, for the great captain of our salvation, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Good night, friends.